and loving God, we thank you, we praise you for your word and for the way in which your word speaks to our hearts and to our minds. Father, we pray that you open our hearts and minds now through the power of your Holy Spirit, that we might hear what you have to say to us this morning, and that we may go forth from this place eager to serve you. We also pray, Lord, this day for both Pat and John Jordan and the health concerns that they're having, and we pray for healing for them. And we also pray for Bob and Liz, Lord, that you continue to be with them, especially Bob at this time, that you might strengthen and renew him. For we ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The scripture reading this morning is Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 17, and also John chapter 3, verse 30. Please stand in honor of God's word. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan. And they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." I'm reading John chapter 3, verse 30. "For this reason, my joy has been fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Did you ever stop and think what it would be like to have John the Baptist as a member of the Plain City Presbyterian Church? Carol Noren writes, "John the Baptist was not the sort of person you'd want as head of your church's evangelism committee. From everything we read about him in the Gospels, he didn't call on newcomers in the neighborhood. On the contrary, if you wanted to talk to him, it had to be on his turf. Nor would you want him on the finance committee. Anyone who feels free to yell at pillars of the church and say, 'You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?' is not likely to increase per member giving. In fact, you wouldn't even want to invite John the Baptist home for Sunday dinner after worship service. He was the first century equivalent of a street person, wearing odd, smelly clothes and contributing a handful of dead bugs to the hors d'oeuvre tray. John was certainly an unusual, unique individual with a calling to prepare the way for Jesus the Messiah. John pulled no punches. He was direct and purposeful, and he fiercely proclaimed his message of repentance, change, belief, and works. He had no power or position in the Jewish political system, but his words had incredible authority. People were moved by his words because he spoke the truth. He challenged them to turn from their sins, to repent, and to be baptized as a symbol of their repentance. People responded in large numbers, but it was not about John. For John never lost sight of what his calling was to be, and that was to point others to Jesus, to announce his coming into the world as the Savior. Well, let's look at several places where John recognizes his position. First of all, he said, "But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry." In that time, the rabbis had disciples who performed all sorts of menial tasks, except removing of sandals. Sewers were unknown, and therefore waste of humans and animals were on the streets. But John says, "I'm not even worthy to carry his sandals." He saw Jesus as so great that he himself was unfit to carry. In some of the Gospels, it says to untie or loosen his sandals. But he realized that Jesus was so great that he felt he was unfit to do a task that wasn't done by anyone. And then there are more words from John when he says that Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. See, John's baptism was one of washing with water through baptism in the river. But Jesus' baptism will penetrate everyone's soul to purify his or her life with the power and presence of the Holy Spirit and empowered to be able to do God's will. And then when Jesus approaches John to be baptized, that would have been quite a scene, wouldn't it have? John tries to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me." And yet Jesus tells him to let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. As John had been pointing people to Jesus, it's at this moment in time when our Heavenly Father now points to Jesus. As Jesus' public ministry would begin, and we hear those words from God in heaven, as the heaven is opened and Jesus sees the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him, and he hears those words, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And then we read in John 3:30, where John the Baptist says, "He must become greater, I must become less." Even though John had quite a following with his own disciples, he realized that he must decrease and Christ might be lifted up. From John, we learn true obedience to God's call upon our lives. And we learn a great deal about stepping aside from ourselves and letting the Lord work in and through us with the ultimate goal of pointing others to Jesus. As we look at this passage and think about that, we can see that we too need to learn obedience to what God has called us to do. John was obedient to that call upon his life. Suppose someone were to offer you $1,000 for every soul you would earnestly try to lead to Christ. Someone asks this question, would you endeavor to lead any more souls to him than you are endeavoring to do now? Is it possible that you would attempt to do for money what you hesitate or shrink from doing now in obedience to God's command? Is your love of money stronger than your love of God and souls? A businessman was well known for his ruthlessness, and he once announced to writer Mark Twain, "Before I die, I mean to make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. I will climb Mount Sinai and read the Ten Commandments aloud at the top." Mark Twain says, "I have a better idea. You could stay in Boston and keep them." Obedience to what God's call is upon our lives as we seek to point others to Jesus. Secondly, may we learn that our successes and our achievements have not come from us alone by any means, but they have come from God. Gordon MacDonald, the president of InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, in his book, Restoring Your Spiritual Passion, uses Uzziah, king of Israel, as an illustration of what happens when we lose our focus on God and zoom in on ourselves. As long as he sought the Lord, the Bible says, God made him prosper, 2 Chronicles 26:5. Uzziah reached the very pinnacle of success. The man hit the top. He was successful in everything he did. The urban renewal of Jerusalem, the reorganization and re-equipping of the army, and the invigoration of a sick economy. But the Bible also says this, when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction, 2 Chronicles 26:16. From there he crashed to the pits. Uzziah died in disgrace, a leper. Johann Sebastian Bach said, "All music should have no other end and aim than the glory of God and the soul's refreshment. Where this is not remembered, there is no real music, but only a devilish hubbub." He headed all of his compositions, JJ, for the initials Jesus Juva, which means Jesus help me. He ended them with SDG, the initials for Sole Dei Gratia, which means to God alone be the glory. And perhaps that is a pretty good thing for all of us to remember in life, that we start off with Jesus Juva, which means Jesus help me, and we end with Sole Dei Gratia, which is to God alone be the glory. And thirdly, pointing others to Jesus, we do so in our words, in our actions, and in our sharing. The young salesman was disappointed about losing a big sale, and as he talked with his sales manager, he lamented, "I guess it just proves you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink." The manager replied, "Son, take my advice. Your job is not to make him drink. Your job is to make him thirsty." And so it is with evangelism. Our lives should be so filled with Jesus that they create a thirst for others as they see what Jesus is doing in our lives, that it creates a thirst that they want what we have. Many years ago in St. Louis, a lawyer visited a Christian to transact some business. Before the two parted, his client said to him, "I've often wanted to ask you a question, and I've been afraid to do so." "What do you want to know?" asked the lawyer. The man replied, "I've wondered why you're not a Christian." The man hung his head. "I know enough about the Bible to realize that it says no drunkard can enter the kingdom of God, and you know my weakness." "You're avoiding my questions," continued the believer. "Well, truthfully, I can't recall anyone ever explaining how to become a Christian." Picking up a Bible, the client read some passages showing that all are under construction, but that Christ came to save the lost by dying on the cross for their sins. By receiving him as your substitute and redeemer, he said, you can be forgiven if you're willing to receive Jesus. Let's pray together. The lawyer agreed, and when it was his turn, he exclaimed, "Oh, Jesus, I'm a slave to drink. One of your servants has shown me how to be saved. Oh, God, forgive my sins and help me overcome the power of this terrible habit in my life." Right there, he was converted. That lawyer was C.I. Schofield, who later edited the reference Bible that bears his name, the Schofield Reference Bible. This morning, may we ask ourselves, in my life, am I pointing others to Jesus? In my obedience to the call that God has placed on my life, by giving him all the glory and praise with my successes and my achievements? And in my words and actions, am I leading people, pointing them to Jesus? As we come to this table this morning, may we be nourished spiritually, that we may leave and depart into the world to point others to Jesus. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the gift of life of John the Baptist, Lord, who knew very well that he must decrease and Jesus must increase. We thank you, Lord, that he took the call that you placed on his life to point others to Jesus so seriously that he spoke with truth and conviction. And Father, we pray that you help us to learn from his example, that we might point other people to Jesus in what we say, in what we do, in the way in which we glorify Jesus for all of our successes and achievements in this life. And by taking the call that you have placed upon every single believer's heart to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That is your great commandment and commission to every single believer, not just to preachers. And Father, we pray that we might take that so seriously that our lives will be a reflection of looking up to you, pointing to you, and others will be drawn to want to know what it is that's made the biggest difference in our lives. We ask and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.